Nicodemus turned from contemplating the fish swimming in the tank so that I could see the outline of his profile against the softly colored lights. His teeth gleamed orange-red in the light of the nearest underwater lamp. I stopped myself from taking an involuntary step back, but just barely.
"It's a metaphor," he said quietly.
He had a good voice, mellow and surprisingly deep.
"Look at them.
Swimming, eating, mating, hunting, killing, fleeing, hiding, each to its nature. All of them so different, so alien to one another. Their world, in constant motion, always changing, always threatening, challenging." He moved one arm, sweeping it in a wider gesture. "They cannot know how fragile it is, or that they are constantly surrounded by beings with the power to destroy their world and kill them all with a twitch of a finger. It is no fault of theirs, of course," Nicodemus shrugged. "They are simply limited, very, very limited. Hello, Dresden."
"You're playing the creepy vibe a little hard," I said. "Might as well go for broke, put on a black top hat and pipe in some organ music."
He laughed quietly. It didn't sound evil as much as it did rich and supremely confident.
"There's some irregularity with the meeting, I take it."
Kincaid glanced at me and nodded.
"Local law enforcement wishes a representative to be present," I said.
Nicodemus's head tilted.
"Really? Who?
Does it matter?" Kincaid asked, his tone bored. "The archive is willing to permit it, if you have no objections."
Nicodemus turned all the way around, finally. I couldn't see his expression, just his outline against the tank. His shadow, meanwhile, kept circling the room behind the shark.
"Two conditions," he said.
"Go on," Kincaid said.
"First, that the representative be unarmed, and that the archive guarantee his neutrality in the absence of factors that conflict with matters of law enforcement duty."
Kincaid glanced at me. Murphy wouldn't like the unarmed part, but she'd do it. If nothing else, she wouldn't want to back down in front of me. Or maybe Kincaid. But I had to wonder, what was Nicodemus's problem with an armed cop? Guns did not bother the man, not even a little. Why that stipulation?
I nodded at Kincaid. "Excellent," Nicodemus said. "Second," he walked forward, each footstep sounding clearly upon the marble floors, until we could see him in the nearest floor lights. He was a man of medium height and build, his features handsome, strong, his eyes dark and intelligent. Hints of silver graced his immaculate hair, though he was holding up pretty well for a man of 2000. He wore a black silk shirt, dark pants, and what could have been mistaken for a gray western tie at his throat. It wasn't. It was an old, old rope from the same field as his coin.
"Second," he said, "I want 5 minutes alone with Dresden."
"No offense, Nick," I said, "but that's about 5 minutes longer than I want to spend with you."
"Exactly," he replied, smiling. It was the kind of smile you see at country clubs and in boardrooms and on crocodiles. "There's never really a good opportunity for us to have a civilized conversation. I'm seizing the chance for a chat." He gestured at the building around us. "Sans demolition, if you think you can refrain." I scowled at him.